Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, not today probably, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded. It's MLS. We're your hosts from Snohomish. I'm Gregor, and he's been to Queen Anne. He's Brandon from the internet.
Yeah, you don't really leave very much anymore, do you?
It's just crazy, because now I was like, I'm Gregor from Mornings on 107.7 The End, 94.7 FM, and Alt 94.7, and I was like, no.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I feel this is not related at all to what you were saying, but I was thinking about your kid, who is however many years old at this point.
Three.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I nailed it. He is he's growing up in like a pandemic world where everybody wears masks, and but fortunately, like, he's seen people's faces before everybody started wearing masks. So as a kid, like, he understands that there are faces below those masks, right? And he understands that there is a world outside of Snohomish that exists because you've taken him to it and he's seen it. I was just thinking about, like, babies who are born into this world right now who fortunately now they know that there's a sky because the smoke is lifted, but like are growing up around, like, only their parents have faces and everybody else is just eyes and half of a nose and nothing else, unless you're in Snohomish, what? Where everybody is not wearing a mask and everybody has faces.
Yeah, of course.
So never mind. I guess
so then imagine how that correlates to kids that grow up in the Middle East or somewhere where they have face coverings required for women.
Whoa.
Also, I just got to brag for a second. My wife would make a smoking hot Middle Eastern woman, because when she wears a mask, I'm like, damn, she is fine.
And then she takes it off and you're like, ah, yeah, still pretty good.
I mean, she's okay. She's okay, I guess. Just a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts and give my wife a rating.
What? Is she wearing a mask or not?
Definitely 5 stars. Primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Nuhu to the Texas version, Hunu.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I like that.
This week, the best in the West. I have to explain this joke. Okay. When we were at Formula One in Belgium, they're speaking in their Belgian or French or
Flemish.
I don't know what.
Isn't it Flemish? Is that what they speak?
But I don't know which one they were speaking, and there's like a ton of French, and they're right there between, they're like right near Germany. And so I can't even remember at the time, but it was like, bouge, 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 best of the rest.
Yeah.
Every time they were talking about all the drivers from like fourth on, they would say best of the rest in English.
In English?
Yeah, it was like a trademarked Coca-Cola, bouge, bouge, bouge. Okay? Do you like my French? It's really good.
Yeah, bouge, bouge, bouge. No, it's Flemish.
So, this week, the best in the West, booja 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 boo. Sounders FC take on the, looks like we're gonna be one country soon anyway, American Cascadia Fartland Timbers in a battle for the American Cascadia Cup.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Poor Vancouver.
Yeah. So, Brandon, booja, I'd booja, like to start. Boo.
I'd like to
the official language of American Cascadia or American Columbia.
Hey, so when you go to Spokane to see your wife's family in the future,
yeah,
will you have to have a passport when we become Cascadia? Because I don't think Eastern Washington's included.
Oh, I feel like I'll just do what they hate the most, which is I will illegally
speak Spanish.
I will illegally emigrate across the border. Or, you know what? I'll do what they hate even more. I will legally emigrate across the border.
I'll be your sponsor for when you want to come to American Cascadia. Okay.
Great. Okay, cool.
Okay. So anyway, I'd like
to
start.
I don't even think you need a passport. I think you just carry a gun and they're like, yeah, you're good.
This guy's good. Yeah. He's white and has a gun. Come on in.
Come on in. One of us. One of us.
It translates to
booza booza boo.
That's when you try to come back, dick. Okay, so a bit of positive note to start the podcast on. I would like to share a couple different things. One is that we have one of the top 50 podcasts in my entire company.
Whoa. How many podcasts are there? Do we know that? Do I want to know that?
I don't know the answer to that. I have like four. So.
Okay, great.
This is my most
It's the shotgun popular. Method, which is you just have as many as possible, and one of them is bound to be in the top percentile.
Luckily, we're like the salt pellet for your shotgun. Like, we're not going to kill anyone with what we say, right. But it might not be good.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. It's definitely not good.
Definitely. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Anyway, so that was exciting, and then I immediately felt sad for my company because, oh boy.
But we're not producing cereal over here.
I'm hungry, so that's not good.
Oh, we should produce cereal.
Yeah, in Eastern Washington, just get your gun, let's go. That's really gross stuff, right?
We need some true crime, so we need to go commit some true crime so we can get some content.
Oh, I wanted cereal like, you
the
know,
food, I know.
Lucky Charms. Yeah.
Wait,
Magically
do they have delicious. More of that in Eastern Washington?
No, that's where you grow it, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to. Yeah.
I forgot about the cereal farms in Cleellum.
The Lucky Charms tree, just give it a shake and the marshmallows come falling right off.
Whoa. Cereal is cool in American Cascadia. What cereal are you eating? Crack?
So,
yeah.
Our podcast is doing great. And then I had two different encounters that, like, you gotta, person listening, you have to understand that we really do feel like we're only talking to one another and to Brandon's brother. Mm-hmm. That's like the entirety of everyone we assume is listening.
What's up, Steven?
Yeah, shout out to Steven. What's up, dude? What's up, dummy? There we go.
There we go.
That's some crossover. Also, Mr. Michael Walton's listening and a few other people that we talk about all the time. Thank you, everybody.
Scuba Steve.
I can't mention you. Yeah, Scuba Steve. Great. Thanks, everyone who came out to the podcast party as well. All right, so we won't be doing that this year. Cool.
But unless we do it in Snohomish.
at a church.
Yeah, at a
twice
church.
In 1 week, somebody just out of nowhere made it clear that they're listening to this podcast, and it like blows my mind. So top 50 in the company, and then twice my longtime internet friend, which sounds like a sex thing, but it's not.
I just write them dirty letters and they respond. It's fine. It's fine.
On my wiener.
No, I just wrote, hey, how are you? But it was on my dick.
So, unsolicited, I'm going to jail. But anyway, so this one gal who follows me on Twitter, she was like, she said something about this new move that I'm doing to these other stations. Great. And I told her like, oh, thanks. You know, you've been listening since I moved to Seattle. And that's so cool. It's been almost a dozen years, this and that. And she goes, yeah. And my husband can't like wait to get the next episode of Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. His name is Vince or Vinny, one of the two. Shout outs to you, dog.
Is she married to Jan? Honestly.
Perhaps.
You know what's great is that she's married to somebody who listens to our podcast who doesn't interact with us on the internet, which, as you were saying, like, it's great to sometimes realize, hey, we're reaching people who we don't like more. I mean, we love the people that interact with us on Twitter and on social and wherever. But like, sometimes it's cool to know that people aren't interacting but still listening. And even Jan reviewing our podcast and not being somebody that we've ever interacted with, I was like, hey, another listener.
It was a big thing when we went to the podcast party, and I thought that the poll of the radio station would drive a lot of this podcast audience, and it turns out that it's just kind of unrelated.
Yeah,
to just talking about the Sounders is something people want, which is why we try to avoid talking about the Sounders as much as possible. Hashtag 9 minutes into this pod.
So. Hey, if you're listening to this right now and you aren't interacting with us on social media, you can go find us at Full 90 Soccer Time or whatever we're called wherever we are. Full 90 Podcast, Full 90 Soccer Time. Who knows? But also, like, tell us how you heard about us, because that's, like, interesting for us to know. And you know, we're always looking to find new listeners and stuff like that. So, we, you know, tell us how you heard about us, and maybe we'll ignore it.
So, on Friday, I posted a thing. I, like, got onto the internet, and there it was. And it was like, what happened to the end? Everyone, specifically Gregor, is awful. That was, like, the synopsis of the comments that I clicked through to.
I'm sorry. Boy, I'll stop commenting, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. When I know it's you, then I know it's going to be written on your wiener, then it's like, I get it, okay?
But, hey, that is not what I meant when I said Gregor sucks.
Well, this just got uncomfortable. I just wanted you to stop sending me the sexts, okay? Like, you can post it on the internet, just not directly to me.
Yeah, it's so weird.
So I read
when
the comments,
personal.
And it was a big mistake. People really dug in on, boy, I was very, very sad. Like, I still kind of am now that I'm talking about it and might need to take a break. But, so I just, you know, of course, I, like, just run with it to try and, like, you know, it's a fun dialogue. If you ever listen to our dumb podcast, we did 400 episodes about this very topic. Almost literally. And my pal Rodrigo pops on, and we start going back and forth a little bit, to the point where on the fourth communique, he says, did Jan leave a nasty comment about dumb American boys again? And I was like, oh, shit, Rodrigo, dude, you came out of nowhere with that. And I was like, that made my whole day so much better after battling with, like, not even battling, just reading the awful things people will say about you. Definitely number one in my book this morning. He says, bro, that shit had me rolling on the way to work. Imagine a painter in a painter's van laughing his ass off at 4 a.m. while at a stoplight. You probably turn away and pretend that you don't even see me. Like,
that's awesome. Hey,
yeah.
And it's the same thing that we're talking about. Like, all of these people who are, you know, angry enough or jerks to write an angry comment, like, you're reaching, you know, what, that's what, 3-4% of the actual, like, base that you're reaching? There's a ton more people who are listening to you that like you, and probably a ton more that don't like you that still listen. So I feel like, you know, like, if you get off the internet every once in a while, you start to realize that people are actually pretty cool, or at least if they don't like you, they won't say it to your face.
So I changed my policy on social media. I will no longer go on anything if I can avoid it, you know, habits or whatever, but I'm trying to only go on Reddit. Just...
yes, the pinnacle of society, of civility, Reddit.
But with Reddit, you have to click through to the comments. You don't just get them up front.
Sure.
You can see the GIFs before you get to the comments. Yeah. And it really is a lot better. Like, ever since Twitter started being like, look at this comment that someone made, I'm like, no. I didn't need to see the atrocious thing that the person that I somehow follow is saying to somebody about Black Lives Matter. Like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, keep that out of here. And, I mean, the social media companies are awful. But with Reddit, I don't have to see the comments because it doesn't make me. So, anyway. Rodrigo, thanks so much, man. Vince or Vinny, I don't remember your name. You're married to the lady that follows me on Twitter. That's awesome. Not doing weird sex stuff, I promise, with your wife. Okay.
I just tweet her pictures of my ween.
Of Brandon's wiener. It's okay. No big deal with words on it. Okay.
How'd you get pictures of my wiener?
Well, you keep sending them to me unsolicited, sure, and I'm like, true. I mean, cool piece, bro, but also, like, he's quite the writer.
That reminds me, there is a back and forth on Twitter between two players on Aston Villa that is very much up our alley, and up the alley of this podcast, but we'll talk about
it. Can I change it to butt of this podcast? Do you think that's okay?
Butt of this podcast.
I don't think
what do you think
that,
I meant when I
That gives a whole new meaning to Harry Potter and Diagon Alley. Hey, so how did your cycle boys do?
Oh, they rode their bikes. And
actually,
you know, I cannot... it was one of the most what the pundits are saying of the Tour de France. The Tour de France ended after 22 stages. They finished in Paris, which is where they always finish. And
those cobblestones look terrible.
It looks awful. But nothing compared to some of the other riding that they do throughout the season. Like Paris-Nice is one of the classics that they ride on cobblestones that are covered in clay, and it gets wet, and it's just muddy, and it's basically cyclocross, which is a whole nother monster. You've got you had this Primoz Roglic, who rides for Team Jumbo-Visma, was leading virtually the entire second half of from stage 13 on or something like that. Mm-hmm. They go into stage 21, which is an individual time trial where each of the riders leaves the gate at a different time. They are racing the clock. It is just them. There's no sprint to the finish against each other, as you would with a regular stage where everybody's racing together, right?
It is the penalty shootout of soccer, where it becomes an individual thing as opposed to a team effort,
right? Yeah, so you've got Jumbo-Visma is the team that Primoz Roglic, the guy leading the race, is on. They've been dominating, his team doing most of the work to keep him in the yellow jersey, which is the leader's jersey, right? A bunch of other teams having a great time as well, winning stages left and right, but not doing the work as a group that puts their guy in front. Well, it gets to the individual time trial, and Primoz Roglic and then Tadej Pogacar are both Slovenian. Tadej plays, lots of ch, ch. That's sometimes when I'm saying their names, I think I'm speaking Flemish. Pogacar. Tadej Pogacar, in the individual time trial, took back over a minute and a half to take the yellow jersey on the last day. And nobody thought going into that was going to be possible, that anybody would be able to put up that kind of ride. Everybody was like, oh, wouldn't it be crazy? But then he did it. And on the last day of racing in Paris, there's never usually that big of a shakeup in the standings. So crazy comes down to the final day, and somebody pulls it out. Tadej Pogacar gets this win. He's the youngest winner of the Tour de France since 1908. Since before the last pandemic, I even think. So anyway, it was a wild finish, and I'm just glad that it's over, so I don't have to get up at 6 a.m. to watch the each stage in France anymore.
So we got talking about last week. We were talking about the different jerseys and the guy who's the king of the mountain,
king of the mountain.
He gets the polka dotted jersey and everything else. Then we got onto sumo just offline here, just you and I together, and we started talking. You made a really good point about how there's no crossover. Sumo is just giant fat guys smashing into each other without pads.
Yeah.
And how come we don't have sumo wrestlers playing in the NFL as linemen or linebackers to be able to really smash someone up, right? And that was, cool. And then Ichi Nojo is who I brought up, who is a 6'3", 437-pound sumo wrestler. I would like to point out that I am almost 6'6", taller than Ichi Nojo, and he is literally twice my weight. There's two Gregs crammed into a smaller
person.
Yeah, like a shorter person.
Two things. One, your new Twitter bio should be taller than Ichi Nojo.
For real. That is an excellent point.
And second, I don't really know the dimensions. I feel like once you get to that point, it's not really your height and weight. It's your dimensions. How wide are you and how how deep are you?
Will he fit through that door frame?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know exactly the dimensions of an offensive lineman in the NFL. I think that they're still pretty fit, right? These guys are really strong and agile, despite being huge.
Michael Bennett,
yeah, totally.
Former Seahawk,
and if you put Ichi Nojo, in there, it doesn't really matter how fast you are, because if you're not fast, you can be fat and just take up both of the alleys on either side of you, and not allow anybody through. Get six of those guys down there, and none of them have a tight end, but all of them, you're not going to need them to play that position anyway.
Koto Ekpo has a tight end, I'll tell you that much.
You would know because of those little diapers that they wear.
It's called a Mawashi, thank you. Michael Bennett,
yes, they Mawashi
Seahawk.
My butt.
Get out of here. 6'4", 274 pounds. So he's about the same height and a full 160 pounds smaller than Ichi Nojo. Like, it's crazy. So sumo's crazy because it's open weight class, and so yesterday Ichi Nojo for the first time fought Enho, and Enho is Enho dimensions.
I like referring to people in their dimensions now.
Wait, this is a shirt. I don't want to know the shirt's dimensions. Oh, cool. I can get an Enho shirt, though. I know that
bookmark.
I know that he's only 92 kilos, so that's less than 200 pounds. And so Ichi Nojo is 2.5 Enhos, which is...
How many Nuhus is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. A Nuhu is probably 2/3 an Enho, so it's like 3 Nuhus, I want to say.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, why don't we have sumo players in American football? And then I started thinking, why don't we get a sumo player who can kick a ball and he could play attacking center back for the Sounders and replace Roman Torres or Yamar?
Roman, yeah, I feel like we're getting there with a Roman Torres type. They've got that guy, I can't think, it's like Akinfenwa or something like that, played for the team that just got promoted into the championship last year, like Burton Hove Albion or something like that. He's the largest player in the English top flight. If you look him up, he looks like he could be a sumo wrestler, except he's a forward on the team that he plays for in England. And he is the guy that you're talking about, basically. He's bigger than
Adebayo,
Roman. Yeah.
Akinfenwa?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, he's almost my age. My God.
And he's huge.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's massive. It'd be like watching Marshawn Lynch play that Steve Zakuani charity match that you got to go to and call.
Oh, God.
And it'd be like watching him, except do it seriously and not play in slides.
Is that those are called slides?
Yeah. Like the thing that he kicked off when he took his penalty kick.
Yeah. I just, sandals is what I would have always, but slides is a much better term for it. So.
Now I'm picturing Marshawn Lynch wearing like Chacos playing soccer. The last shoe that I think Marshawn Lynch would ever wear. I think he'd wear a Croc before that.
Marshawn Lynch and Crocs is like, that adds up to me.
Totally.
That works for me. Yeah, so there's like, I feel like there's got to be some room for some crossover and some sports here, and that Japan is missing out on the opportunities here. Because
the best thing to come out of this conversation that we were having is, I think is worth repeating for those listeners who listen to us, is that imagine before he retired, Chad Ochocinco lining up for the Bengals or whatever team it was that he played for. I don't know. I'm not a football person.
Sure.
Lining up for the Bengals across from Chad Ichi Nojo.
And as we discussed, Chad, the most appropriate name for a Japanese guy ever. It's like, Chad Ichi Nojo.
Chad-san.
No, Chad Ichi Nojo would have to be like delivering a hit like on a end around or something like that, where there's no way Ichi Nojo's keeping up with Ochocinco.
Cornerback Chad Ichi Nojo.
That's Chad on Chad crime that does not happen. I want to see Chad Ochocinco go straight into the blocking dummy that is Ichi Nojo and see what happens.
Okay. We talked about Brad's on Twitter all week because, Brad Smith is back. Brad Smith has made his way back to Seattle, which is awesome. Hey, look, we're talking about soccer. Now that I'm thinking about it, I want to see Chad Ichi Nojo, Chad Ochocinco, Chad Marshall, and Chad Nuhu?
No. If you did those three, the three Chads, it's perfect. It's election season too. It like totally works out.
Okay. And you call it, all these guys hanging out together, you call it the Hanging Chads. Come on, man.
Dude, it's perfect. And they all have head injuries.
This year's fall lineup on CBS. Following Brian and the Seamen in primetime.
And too many Brads.
Too many Brads. It's the Hanging Chads.
Followed by an awkward Brooklyn 99.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, cool. Oh, we've settled everything now. That's amazing.
Why does our house always smell like fish paste? on an all-new Hangin' Chads. Chad Itchy Nojo can't get enough Chonko Nabe. That could have fed my whole family. Chad Dad Marshall sounds more like Mad Dad Marshall.
Uh-oh.
What happens when a sumo wrestler, a retired NFL star who loves FIFA, and a Seattle dad just trying to make things happen get together under one roof?
Hey, would you two keep it down? I'm trying to whoop some serious online ass right now.
Find out this November on an all-new Hangin' Chads.
The season that continues to play, even though it feels like it never got started, it was made even more interesting when Seattle Sounders FC beat LAFC at home in front of nobody except for the piped-in crowd noise that went extra crazy for that matchup. Now, full disclosure, I did not watch the first half, and then I turned it on and I was like, 2-0, huh? And I guess it was all because of PKs?
Yeah, full disclosure, I didn't watch the first half or the second half. But I did watch the highlights, and yeah, two penalty kicks.
We are the worst podcast ever.
You wonder why we start with like a bunch of talk about sumo and cycling.
I don't wonder at all.
But you know, interesting stat comes from this. First of all, I did watch the highlights, and what a match! If you watch the Raul Ruiz Diaz scored the third goal, and it is just beautiful all the way up. João Paulo is one of those guys who's starting to make himself a Sounder. Like he was originally just, you know, it's hard when you're not in the stadium, you don't get to see him play in person. It's weird. It's almost some of these players don't necessarily feel like they've cemented themselves yet. He is like 3 assists in 6 matches. The way that he's playing, the way he's linking up with Ladero and Ruiz Diaz is just, he was like pointed at where Ruiz Diaz should run before he made the pass, and it went right to where he should have gone, and it went in. It was great.
To that point, watching João Paulo is like the opposite of an Arriaga. There's
totally.
João Paulo out there yelling and telling people like what to do and how to get it done, never waving his finger because he got it wrong or the ref got it wrong or whatever. He's out there commanding everything while you have a center back pairing that doesn't necessarily look resolute yet. I think that there's a corner to turn there, and I think that even Arriaga is about to come around because of somebody strong in front of him. Arriaga has someone behind him and in front of him that can turn around and yell at him and to keep him in place and to work him a little harder.
The team is changing. This is what's so interesting. The team is changing around around these players because, like, yes, Arriaga made a ton of mistakes in the MLS's Crap Cup, right? Like, he had a really hard time, made a lot of very glaring, obvious mistakes to the point where he got benched in favor of Shane O'Neill. And Shane O'Neill played great, but what he doesn't bring is that, like, forward ball that Arriaga can play, right? Arriaga can defend, but his strength is being a ball-playing center back who can, like, link up with the teammates up in front of him. Now you have João Paulo, who is a cross between, like, a Nico Ladero and an Ozzie Alonso, who can link up back with that center back but also still play with your number 10 like Nico, which allows him to float around and do whatever Nico wants. And like, the team has to go through these patches of like Arriaga waving his finger and getting red cards so they can figure out. But now, I mean, like, you're only just starting to see what João Paulo can do when he's playing around the players that he's supposed to be playing around, like the team that the Sounders built instead of trying to jimmy rig something every week because of an injury here and there.
You make a good point about Ladero being freed up to do what Ladero does best instead of having to constantly be dropping back and worrying about shoring up the central defense as an extra body back there. Nico Ladero is so dangerous in the second half, the attacking half of the pitch, that having someone like João Paulo to shore things up next to Gustav Svensson, like, that is the ideal pairing. I'm sure someone can think of one, but I don't follow MLS enough. But I can't think of another kind of tandem there that you'd want to have holding that down like that. And then, most importantly, it frees up the opportunity to do the thing that we say every damn week, which is pass the ball to Ruiz Diaz.
100%.
Ruiz Diaz, not the fastest guy out there, but he's the flea. He's out bouncing around. If you have somebody dangerous in conjunction with Ruiz Diaz, you pass him the ball and he makes goals happen. That goal to take it 3-0 off of his weak foot, where he didn't stab that thing in. He swung it like some sort of like fair ride, like the sea dragon that goes back and forth. His like foot came through it like that. Sea dragon was at its height coming through. Like, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was it's exactly what you're saying. Like, we talk about all the time, like when Rui Diaz drops back because he's trying to link up with Ladero, who dropped back because he's trying to link up with the center backs. Like, he's not fast enough, or he's not Obafemi Martins, where he can just dribble past players and make crazy turns and make that kind of play. He's not that fast enough to do that. Jordan Morris can't do it all alone on himself by himself if he's the one that's running up there. So when you're able to just keep Rui Diaz hanging out up there, bouncing around like you said, and like getting the ball in the box wherever he can, he's not the guy you want taking 6-7 touches dribbling it into the penalty area. He's the guy you want taking 2-3 touches, or maybe even one, and just being able to bang it in. And it's already happening. Like, that's what you're starting to see in these last few matches.
You add into that with Jordan Morris or somebody playing, really any of the guys that you can bomb down the sides, like even a Leerdam or something like that. You send guys flying a new who down the sides, and you can really pull apart defenses and leave Rui Diaz to do the most damage in the center. So if you come up the middle, you got Ladero feeding the ball. If you come up the sides, you got a Jordan Morris or a new who even feeding the middle. And it makes Rui Diaz almost impossible to contain if you can just get him that ball. It's incredible to watch, and to watch him be so effective in such a short burst. Again, he was averaging 38 touches per goal or something like that last season. It's unbelievable. It was really exciting to watch.
And on top of that, you've got Ladero, who just set an MLS record for consecutive penalty kicks made during the regular season. So he's 14 out of 14 penalty kicks that he's ever taken for the Sounders. That is a type of consistency that I think is kind of underrated, because I don't know why, but like, I always think of the Sounders as not good at penalties. And I don't know if it's just because I've seen them eliminated in the past in like penalty shootouts. We've also seen them win in the MLS Cup final against Toronto. But like, I just always get nervous. Boy. Maybe that's just like every... Did you say spoiler alert?
I said biggest boy.
Oh, okay. R.I.P.
3 years ago, spoiler alert.
Yeah, it was like spoiler. but like... Yeah, I just always get nervous. But, and I don't know why, because Ladero's 14 for 14 from the spot. And yes, like, the goalkeeper got one got a hand on the second one. But still, that's 2 for 2 in a single match. That's crazy.
So that brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the anarchist jurisdiction man of the match.
Your American Columbia anarchist jurisdiction man of the match is the Sounder center backs.
Anarchist jurisdiction. Trump tried to include Vancouver. Anarchist jurisdiction. Trump tried to include Vancouver, but doesn't understand Canada.
Do any of us? I know. I thought that the Sounder center backs, first of all, this is a shutout, which is great, because even though they trounced San Jose, they still only won 7-1 because of a stupid penalty call. Awesome to see them get the shutout. But I thought if anybody would benefit most from an anarchist jurisdiction, it would be the chaos that is our center backs.
That's excellent. Well done. I've dubbed San Jose Earthquakes the West Coast whipping post, because they are just getting whooped. 6-1 against Timbers the other day, 7-1 from Sounders. Like, big results happening there in San Jose.
I just read a statistic that in the month of September, they have scored 5 and given up 20 goals.
Oh my God. September's only 3/4 of the way through.
I know. And the Sounders, we should talk about this. The Sounders, MLS just announced the rest of the schedule. We've only been getting like 4 matches at a time for the Sounders.
Okay,
right?
Great. I haven't seen this.
So you haven't seen this, but so MLSsoccer.com, Major League Soccer, soccer.com, .com just released.
You actually write out .com.
Yeah, .com. It's MLS, Major League Soccer, soccer.com. they just released the rest of the schedule for the Sounders for the rest of the year. We've been getting them in like 4-bite chunks, and it's been like LAFC, LA Galaxy, LAFC, Portland, or San Jose to destroy them. So I'm curious, now that I'm looking at the rest of the schedule, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games from October 3rd through the 8th of November. Who do you think the opponents are?
9 games
left.
Okay, so starting with the next match, I know for sure is Portland Timbers.
Perfect. Nailed it.
One for one. And then it's probably LA Galaxy. Also, Real Salt Lake. And then there's going to be another matchup against Portland. We're going to do 2 against Vancouver, both at home, but one will be away. LAFC. And then I didn't even know how many I've guessed. And then back against no, you're shaking your head now.
No, this is off? You know what? Your guesses are great, but also this is nothing. I feel like we should just say what the actual schedule is, because this is weird. They don't play LA Galaxy at all for the rest of the season. I'm like, am I reading this right? It's so obviously we've got at Portland, and then you've got at home to Vancouver, at home to Real Salt Lake. You were killing it there. At LAFC at the Baño de California Stadium. You've got versus Colorado Rapids, so at home. You've got on the road to San Jose. You've got at home to Portland. You've got away to Vancouver, which will probably be played at Portland, probably. you've got away to Colorado, and then you've got at home versus San Jose again.
West Coast Whipping Post coming back to Seattle. All right.
Twice. We've got two more matches against them. It's insane.
Okay, well, I'm sad that I got it wrong right out of the gate against LA Galaxy. I was like, well, we haven't played them in a while. They're on the West Coast, but I guess they have other...
That is weird.
Are they just going to... LA Galaxy just plays FC Dallas 7 times and who knew a couple times or whatever?
We have other... Like, don't we have... There are other teams in the Western Conference. Like, I think Minnesota's in the Western Conference. We haven't played them in a while.
Yeah, they're basically Canada.
I think one of the Texas teams... Dallas is in the Western Conference. We don't play them. Like, what is going on with the schedule?
Yeah, weird. Okay, well, I guess they're just trying to keep it into small pods like we're a bunch of orcas. That's great. We have another matchup. The one that I did get right for sure is Portland Timbers FC, Sounders FC at Fartland. It's a Wednesday night, 7 p.m.-ish at Providence Park. So they got the big win. Like we said, Portland destroyed San Jose 6-1. Not as good as 7-1. Good point. Sebastian Blanco, that's a big blow.
Yeah, Sebastian Blanco, his knee waved the Blanco flag, and he is out for the rest of the season.
I would like it to be known that he's making a white flag joke that he surrenders, but also I do not condone a joke at the expense of somebody's injury.
We make injury generator jokes all of the time, okay? We 100% condone joking at other people's expense.
I'm not even going to encourage the thing I was going to say, because someone will figure out how to hack us and go through, and my whole life will be over. But I have made some poor injury generator jokes in the last 4 days. Okay, so what's the history between these two teams look like, Brandon? It's been storied.
Yeah, it's obviously a long, long history. I think everything, as we say, just gets thrown out of the window with COVID. Like, everything changes, right? Yeah. The Sounders all time are 12-9-6, so a winning record against the Timbers, and that's regular season, because as soon as we start to include postseason, things look less pretty for the Sounders. But on the road, which the Sounders will be this weekend, they are 4-6-3, so a losing record actually. On the road against the Timbers. However,
speaks to that home field advantage, man.
Yeah. The Sounders right now, I mean, we're coming off of the Timbers just a couple weeks ago came to Seattle and beat Sounders 2-1. And Kelvin Leerdam added a tally in his golden clog total there. Wasn't enough to win. But the Sounders right now sit in first place in the West, and the Timbers in fifth. So that said, only 3 points separate those two teams. However, first place Sounders has a pretty good ring to it right now.
Yeah, it's good. It's a dangerous place to be, because I don't like the... I'd much rather be in the hunt at the end and people not believing in you being able to catch up and do something rather than having to hold on to it. But again, we just identified what that team looks like, and it is bonkers. Yeah, so it was the only defeat that we've seen the Sounders have since the tournament, I think, right? Was here at home against Fartland. So,
and we're not talking about the same like roster even, because I remember that being a somewhat depleted roster. The Sounders, I mean, as we were just talking about, Joao Paulo looking like he's firing on all cylinders with Lodeiro and Rui Diaz. You got Arriaga looking like he's not going to get a red card at any given moment, a little bit less than usual.
Shout-outs to your brother, because the Brad Smith jersey could be once again pretty useful. I don't know how long it'll take Mr. Brad Smith to get himself into match shape for Seattle, but that's another thread on the left side there that when you want to open a team up like that.
I saw a really funny, like somebody put together a mock roster for the Sounders, and they said Brian Schmetzer is going to go trips left and have just have Brad Smith, Nuhu, and Jovan Jones all playing the same position.
But have you ever, like in a soccer practice or whatever, you do the weave or you pass the ball and then you go back forth?
Yeah.
We're doing the flying weave on the left.
Just with three extra people.
Yeah, it'll be three left backs all bombing down the side, overlapping one another. It's going to be incredible. Finally, all those childhood soccer practices are going to pay off.
I think this is the first time in a very long time, I feel like, that the Sounders have actual depth in multiple positions. Like, it's not a huge drop-off every time they need to make a substitute. Like, if it's a close game going into the last 15, 20 minutes of a match, some of those substitutions that they can make are great. Even just the way that they're able to reorganize the team on the pitch, let alone like bringing in new players to the fold during a match. Like, they've got Will Bruin on the bench, who, by the way, congrats on a second baby coming, confirmation that we all know. Will Bruin, man.
I was waiting for when that was going to come out. That's amazing.
So congrats on the sex. You got Will Bruin on the bench. You've got Jovan Jones playing on that left wing right now, like looking like he's a born midfielder, a born winger for the Sounders. And you got Brad Smith, as we remember the left side link up play between him and Jordan Morris and Victor Rodriguez last year. Jovan Jones looks like Victor Rodriguez and a half right now, the way that he's played the last couple games. So Schmetzer's rolled out the same starting 11 in two matches in a row. Wouldn't be surprised if that's his first choice that he tries to roll out again over the next couple of matches. And we're seeing like incredible results. Sounders have scored 10 goals over two matches between San Jose. Obviously it's San Jose, so you take that with a grain of salt. But against San Jose and LAFC, you got to think that they're producing at this point.
Does Nuhu lose the most out of all this? Is it his loss because you have two guys that can play that left side and have more experience?
I'm wondering because the details of the contract with Brad Smith are coming out, where it's making Brad Smith a Seattle player for at least a few years. My guess is, given Nuhu's age, being a younger guy, he's like 22, 23, something like that. Given his age, and given the way he's been playing and just getting better and better under Brian Schmetzer, I think that, we've heard rumors over past off seasons about Nuhu possibly moving to Europe, moving to France, playing in the second division in France or somewhere else. I could see Nuhu possibly moving on and into bigger and better things in Europe. So just because he's young enough to still make that move, Brad Smith sounds like he's still here for at least 3 years, according to the contract. So, yeah, I would say Nuhu loses out, but also the Sounders are probably preparing for what could look like an eventual move for we've seen the growth of Nuhu over the last couple of years. It went from chaos bicycle kicks within his own 18 yard box to like smart plays, good crosses, great defense with an element of flair. But Jimmy Traore had an element of flair, and he won a Champions League with Liverpool. So he also scored an own goal while doing it. But like either way, Nuhu could have that kind of aspiration on his mind.
I want nothing but the best for that guy. I wish he could stay, but I feel like it's not in the cards. All right, in case you just woke up and found yourself in an anarchist jurisdiction, it's time for TLDL. Too long, didn't listen. I'm going to start today, Brandon. Too long, didn't listen. What's your new favorite Thursday night comedy?
The Hanging Chads. I would love that. I don't know. Like, following Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Hanging Chads sounds like the right... That just seems like good family TV. Too long, didn't listen. The official language of American Columbia is...
Boo-shoo, boo-shoo, boo-shoo. Who knew? Someone's going to be so mad at me for that. Best of the rest. Bushu, bushu, bushu.
Best of the West.
Too long, didn't listen.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm going to have to go check MLSsoccer.com.com.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.